Ladies and gentlemen, to the show that's all about the lighter side of genocide, because in the world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose your sense of humour, you'll go friggin' nuts. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the island-chained nation in the sunny slave South Pacific. It's a beautiful country where nobody knows really bugger all about it apart from what they saw in Lord of the Rings. And incidentally, there are Dark Lords like Sauron and the Nazgul walking around in the parliamentary grounds. And incidentally, the judges also wear big black robes like the Witch King of Angmar. My very special guest today is Zan Overall, otherwise known as Zan the Wise Old Man. If you want to have a look at some of his videos, you can go to youtube.com/1WOM. It stands for One Wise Old Man. All right, Zan, are you there, mate?
I feel fine. I feel fine at 87.
87?
I still got one. Yeah, 87.
Well, for the mathematicians out there, what was your date of birth?
June 11th, 1926. Yeah.
Well, you were still a small boy when the Depression was raging.
Yeah, and I give my father a lot of credit. He got us through the Depression as an artist. Can you believe that?
I can believe it.
Of course, the $30 a month from getting wounded in World War One, I'm sure, was essential. Essential.
God. See, it's amazing how getting wounded can lead to your survival.
Yeah, I saw, you know, most children don't see the bones in their father's foot, but I did all my life. And of course, now I realize that we shouldn't have been in World War One. You know, nobody should have been in World War One, and the United States particularly should not have been in World War One. Yeah, we were suckered into it by the Zionists as usual. Yeah.
Same story over and over again. And as a young man looking at history, you see history repeating itself. What does an old man look at history like? The same thing?
Well, I'm learning as I go. My God, you know, a lot of the things that I believed I know now are bull crap, you know. And you learn as you go. Yeah. I have one of my videos. Now, thank you for giving me a plug. Red blue pill, red pill from the Matrix, and I tell, you know, I believe I took the red pill, and I see reality, and other people see the bull that Big Brother wants them to see, and I go through a lot of the things that I believe are true and not true, and believe me, I'm learning, still learning, you know.
Well, I think it's the day you stop learning is kind of the day your coffin's closed on you.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope so. Yeah, I learned something in the last couple of years. I've always known that that the man from Stratford-on-Avon didn't write the poems and the plays. He was a beard, not a bard. He was fronting for some other people, you know. Because the theater was very political in those days, still is. And no, you know who actually did it? In my best opinion, an Italian Jewess named Amelia Bassano. That's Amelia, A-M-E-L-I-A, as usual. And the last name is Bassano, B-A-S-S-A-N-O. I suggest people Google that and you'll learn something. B-A-S-S-A-N-O. She was a genius. I don't know if you want to talk about that, but I'm just throwing that out as
if you want to talk about it, go right ahead. I'm always up to learn something I don't know nothing about.
All right. Well, she came from a family of musicians who came from Italy to London and became very big in the court. They would play for the Queen and Queen Elizabeth in her private chambers and you know, big deal. And when she was 16, she became the mistress of a lord who was head of the theater, oddly enough. And she knew all the people, and all the people, like the Earl of Oxford, have always. I thought that he was the one, because a lot of the Hamlet, there are a lot of things in Hamlet refer to his life story. But she knew all these people, and so she used those stories, and just check that out, and you'll learn something. Amelia Bassano. Mm-hmm. Okay. There's something else I learned recently. Now, I'm going to make some enemies this way, but I think it's the truth. There's a book called Caesar's Messiah. That's spells Caesar's possessive, C-A-E-S-A-R-S, and then Messiah, M-E-S-S-I-A-H. By the way, one thing, if you read the book, you'll learn how to spell those difficult words. I always had trouble spelling. But it's by a man named Joseph Atwill, American, who studied the Bible, and he believes, and I think it's true, that there was no historical Jesus. He was a fictional character created by the so-called Flavian Caesars. I can't think of their first names, but their father and then two sons after him. And in about 60-70 A.D., Rome was having a lot of trouble from the Jews. So what else is new? And they were revolting there. I won't say they're revolting, all of them. Some of them are wonderful people, but they're revolting there in Palestine, and costing the Romans a lot of money. But this first emperor came over there and laid waste to them. He crucified maybe, I've heard, 10,000 Jews. It was horrible. But anyway, they're a very sophisticated race, the Romans, you know. They decided to create a religion to pacify the Jews. So they created, they just made up this, because this is 60, 70. You know, the Gospels, the New Testament didn't come out till about 60 or 70. And people always wondered why. Well, now you know why. And they created this Jesus instead of these very religious and crazy and brave. I mean, the Jews resisted torture. They were religious, you know. But the Romans created this fictional Jesus, who said, "Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's," in other words, pay your taxes, and turn the other cheek. You know, that has nothing to do with the Jews of that day. But anyway, that's the background for it. And the reason it's pretty obvious is that the only reason that people believe there was a historical Jesus is a book by a Jew named Josephus called the Wars of the Jews, and it was about the war that the Romans fought against the Jews. And the funny thing is, I know I'm talking on and on, but in any time, but I just want to finish the thought here. A lot of incidents in the New Testament are like satires of the incidents that actually happened or supposedly happened in the Roman War on the Jews, and they're disguised. But the thing that makes it for real is the fact that they occur in the same order. You have in the Josephus, you have an incident like the thing, cast your net on the other side, and it refers to a thing where Romans drove some Jewish revolutionaries into the water and killed them in the water like fish, and then on and on, one thing after another, in the same situation, so in the same order. So mathematically, that just can't be. So anyway, there's a couple of things to chew on. Caesar's Messiah, or just Joseph Atwill, A-T-W-I-L-L, if that's easier to remember. So there you go.
Yep. Okay. Well, I wanted to talk about sort of your upbringing, because there's two types of activists I've kind of noticed. The people, we come to the truth in sort of two ways. One is we kind of have it instilled in us during our upbringing, and it's kind of inevitable. And the other one is we're kind of like well-to-do people who are like making it in the system and relatively well, and then getting shafted real badly and turning into some kind of warrior.
Something is a liberal who got mugged. I don't remember the routine. I learned it on my own in late life. You know, my folks were lovely people, but they had no. I remember my father didn't care for Jews, and my grandfather didn't either. So my grandfather, he didn't care for the English either. I think I learned it on my own as I went along. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, why using the word Jews? Because it seems to be a very controversial topic amongst people to talk about Jews at all.
Well, yeah, we're supposed to say things like the elite, or the that's what the John Birch Society always calls them, the elite or the insiders. And a lot of people in there who know that. The Jewish power, I call it the Jewish power structure, has done terrible things. My God, they're ruining this country financially. They've been sucking the money from us out of with the Federal Reserve for 100 years almost now. But we've been so conditioned to think of the Jews as the poor put upon people, where they're putter upons, I think. You know, we've been just so conditioned. That we just because we're nice people. That's our problem. We're such nice people. We don't want to say anything bad about the people who are ruining the country. You know.
Do you know what do you know what the word nice means? If you look up the word nice, it means foolish.
You know, I love words, but I don't know. It means foolish. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. Nice. Yeah.
See, and so you're right, actually. We are very nice people, aren't we?
Yeah, we're foolish. We're foolish. I would love to hear Netanyahu talking among himself to himself about the Americans and about the everybody. I mean, they've got England and France.
I was thinking about this the other day. You know how in Israel they've got compulsory military service, right? Except for people who are ultra-Orthodox Jews. So basically, if you're in Israel, you will either A1, go into trauma-based mind control camps with a whole bunch of other people who may or may not want to be there and learn how Palestinians are bad and how Israel's great and it's the shining light in the Middle East and just brainwash them. It happens to every soldier, right? Whether or not they pick up on it and carry it through later in life is a measure of the individual. But in the main, you do have a large amount of people who basically just get brainwashed into serving the state. No different to any Nazi or Stalinist type soldier. And I think that the alternatives are either being an ultra-Orthodox Jew is almost irrelevant kind of thing, because they get taught that same kind of propaganda by radical rabbis and things like that. When you have a look at the wide spectrum of discourse and what rabbis are saying all across the world, and most of them are saying that Zionism is the worst thing that's ever happened to Judaism since Hitler, you know? And there's this kind of big uprising because they don't want to be soldiers. They don't want to be ultra-Orthodox mind-controlled priests. And they also don't want to go to jail as the peaceniks have been. So a lot of the people just go like, you know what? Living in Israel ain't worth it. I'm going to go to America or something like this, where I've actually got a choice of what to do with my life. And so what you have is like the most of the Jewish population also being slaves, as well as all of the rest of our populations, just to different degrees.
Yeah, there's a lot of unhappiness in Israel. Yeah, they have demonstrations, you know, sure. Yeah, there are people who stand up, you know, who refuse to go into the army. I remember I was in World War II, or the latter. I was drafted in 1944. I mean, I got some in 1944. And ended up in the Air Force. I went to Brazil. How's that for a nice duty? But I remember being marched into the post theater to see this thing called Why We Fight. It was done by some big name Jewish screenwriter. You ever heard of that? Why We Fight?
Yeah.
So I was there. I seen it happen. Oh my God.
And back in the day, like if you look today, for instance, with all the sophisticated news networks and all the different internet programs and things of that, that we've got a lot of discernment, a lot of choice or whatever. You look back at a propaganda film like Why We Fight, and it seems so obvious, so quaint, and so like, oh my God, you know, just uncultured sort of thing. But we don't realize that in about 10 years' time or something like that, people will look back on the ads and propaganda and all the crap of our time and think, oh my God, it's so unsophisticated. So basically, the brainwashing has never stopped. It's just gotten more sophisticated as we have. Yeah. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, one of the most sophisticated platforms of propaganda on the web. And we'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com.
Living so don't care about the color of your face. Unite and roll, respect our right to live here on the land. It's Tino Ranga, Tina Tonga, we don't own the banks. The parliament does so where do you ever stand? They paying their bills off your back with hefty tax demands. Misleading our youth with alcohol, TV, contrabands. So kids act up and disturb our community. Uninformed public then consents to a planned absurdity. What? What's our human rights with commercial slavery?
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the show that's all about commercial slavery. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, which is why we have commercial breaks, because technically we're slaves to them. Anyway, my very special guest, Zan, the wise old man, youtube.com/1WOM. One WOM is the one WOM.
Wow,
and no relation to the Australian one wombat.
No, not that I know of, no.
All right.
I wish I had hearing like a bat. I have a little hearing problem. When we were talking...
Apparently, Dick Cheney morphs into a bat.
He did. Well, what a terrible man. And you notice he was in the catbird seat in Washington, D.C., and Bush was down there with the kids, you know. So, how telling.
I always think of Dick Cheney as kind of Sylvester the cat versus Tweety Bird, you know, Tweety Bird being the people of the United States and him being the cat.
Yeah, but the Tweety Bird was always the winner. I don't know that's going to happen with us.
I taught David Rockefeller.
Yeah. Hey, we were off the when we were off the air, we were talking about my comedy sketch. How far into it did you get?
Oh, not very far, right?
Yeah, it's called. If you go to my website, my channel on YouTube, and you already told them how to get to it. It's called God is a Goy. Oy! It's about I won't try to tell you what it's about, but check it out when you get a chance. Okay. I think it's funny. It's funny.
Well, and you've also got a new song and anthem for the truth movement. Tell us about that.
Well, I wrote that a few years ago, and it's a song I wrote called Here and Not Here. And it's over the introduction, I say the song is written to the millions who do not know the truth about 9/11 and all the other lies, but who will know. And it's just kind of it's just trying to get them to wake up one of the first starts here and not here, here and not here, skimming the surface, vaguely aware something's wrong, here and not here, looking without seeing, fearing what you fear you will see. That's like when people look at the pictures of the World Trade Centers exploding, and they don't see it that's exploding. They think it's falling down, you know. But they're afraid to look because they'll get out of the herd. They will escape the herd, you know. And people don't have the guts to do that. The chorus, and I'll just, the chorus goes, let me get into it. Slip away from the herd. Take someone with you. The herd goes not to pasture, but to slaughter. That's the chorus. So that's what the song is about.
Well, and I found what's happened throughout the music industry over time is that music's actually a lot more powerful than just speaking to somebody. It adds another dimension of communication to it, like your body feels it, sort of thing.
Oh yeah.
And that's why I think a lot of huge bands that had a lot of sway, who might have had a political message or something of that nature, so to find out a lot of deals dry up and things of that nature. You ever notice that?
Well, if they get out of line, you mean they get out of line? I think the music industry is controlled by the same people that control everything else. Really do, yeah. There's something that just came around. You know, I don't know if I have your email address. I guess I do, but I'll send it around to you. It's a talk about the Beatles as being Illuminati stooges, and I'll send it around to you. See what you think.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Yeah, I just saw it. It just came out today.
Mm. Well, I see. You know what? I've got a real difficulty even keeping up with anything, right? Because I've got people that I'm interviewing and what have you, and I don't watch their stuff. I don't go to their blogs or anything like that. I just bring them on the show and interview them, and that's how I get to know them.
Yeah, I see what you mean. Well, I frankly don't have the time. I don't take the time to listen to a lot of radio shows or things like that. I just do my own stuff, you know. And
well, have you noticed that it makes you kind of myopic, you know? And you're like, man, I actually really don't know what's going on in the world.
Oh, I think I do. I think I do. I'm just saying. I don't spend. I get a lot of stuff on the internet. I mean, I get a thousand. And you have to pick and choose. I don't open maybe a 15th of what I get, you know. I just decide what I'm going to do. But I think I keep up with the so-called news, yeah. Look, one of the things I wanted to talk about was how we're going to get to the sheep. It's very difficult because the bad guys have the media, you know. The bad guys have the media.
Well, I just say replace the sheep's shepherd. That's the easiest way to change what the sheep are thinking and doing.
How do you do it?
What? Replace the shepherd.
Replace the what?
The shepherd.
Oh, the shepherd. Oh, well, that's it'd be nice if we could do it overnight, wouldn't it?
Well, apparently it can be. I mean, I was just thinking about this the other day, Zan. You know how many people have doubles? You know, like Saddam Hussein had a couple, apparently Slobodan Milosevic. You know, there's all these people who got doubles over there. I wonder how many people in Hollywood have doubles. I wonder how many people in the presidency have doubles or in the Congress or whatever. And I wonder what it would take for them to just, you know, betray their employer and just assume their position.
Yeah, but there's no one person in charge. It's a whole group. It's a whole group of people that...
Yeah, you know. Or maybe even just, you know, forge some kind of elaborate truth or conspiracy and some secret underground Occupy-funded through George Soros and anonymous broadcasting kind of deep underground military base kind of thing that's been, you know, carved out of somebody's old silver mine shaft that he's got back in Montana or something like that, you know, with the big elevator doors and all that. that kind of rich trimmings and what have you, and just carve up some huge biological experiments and just create your Dick Cheney, create your George H.W. Bush, create your George W. Rockefeller, your Michelle de Rothschild, your David de Rothschild, create all these people, right?
And who's going to do this? So the good guys?
I don't know, maybe it's just a fantasy thing that I'll put into like some kind of crazy sci-fi picture novel, novel-y thingy, or cartoon later on. Yeah, it'll be classic. And what you'd do is essentially just replace all these bad, evil people that are, or better yet, a one-time drop. You replace every single Bilderberg group member at one meeting. Okay? And because they all arrive in black limousines and things like that, you can get them all in transit, and then just put your double in their car, and then send them all into the Bilderberg group meeting, and then change what the Bilderberg group agenda is for that year, and basically destroy all the banks, destroy all the energy cartels, and all of that kind of stuff, and free humanity. I think that's a script right there.
You're forgetting who really is in charge: the Rothschilds. You have to. There's the people.
The Rothschilds will be at the Bilderberg group meeting.
They keep a low profile.
Have you noticed? Could you actually pinpoint and identify just by looking at a Rothschild if he passed by in the street? No, he just looked like any other old seedy bastard wearing a suit.
I know the old guy. He was somebody. Somebody stopped him on the street and interviewed him. I would recognize him in an instant. Yeah, he's quite old. I can't think of Baron Rothschild. Let's see.
Think about this. That one person stopped him. Other than that, he's been walking around free as a bird, and nobody's noticed.
Well, yeah, I'm amazed that he did that. I mean, I didn't see any bodyguards around or anything. Of course,
they thrive on their anonymity. They walk around just going, I'm the god amidst the slaves.
Yeah, that's the truth. There's a magazine over here called Forbes, a financial magazine. Every year they tell you, am I talking too loud, by the way?
No, good.
Every year they have the richest man in the world. It usually was the guy who has Apple and that stuff over here. Last year it was a Mexican. A Mexican. That's what it come down. And I made a little comedy routine about, I'm really worried because the financial thing, I looked through all the billionaires in the world. I went down the whole list. There wasn't a single Rothschild. And if the Rothschilds are in financial troubles, then what a little goy like me.
It's because the Rothschilds probably own Forbes and make sure that they get kept out of it.
Of course, and it would be what a come down for a Rothschild to be a billionaire. I mean, they're quite.
Wait, hold on a second. Imagine if there was like the real 100 people, 100 richest people on the world. There'd be like 99 Rothschilds and David Rockefeller.
Yeah. They're quadrazillionaires, you know. And what a lovely I did this little comedy thing about call it what a lovely family, the Rothschilds.
In fact, this gives me an idea. And if there's anybody listening on there who's good with an artist or any stuff like that, who's seen the top 100 Forbes magazine richest people in the world or anything like that, and would actually want to go through the trouble of creating a fake richest 100 people in the world and having them virtually all members of the Rothschild family or the royal families, like the Queen to be on there, Dave Rockefeller and all of that kind of stuff, and then just publish that online as if it's real, kind of Yes Men style, and suddenly the whole world knows who the real 100 people the richest in the world is, like what's his name, Bill Gates.
What's
he going to do? Finance a few eugenics operations in Africa? The British royal family practically own Africa, and Dutch royal shells in there, and all of this kind of stuff. They got nothing.
Yeah. The Rothschilds. Yes. That's a good idea.
Who was the Roths C named after?
Who?
C. R-O-T-H-S-C. It's off England somewhere.
I don't spell good. It goes fast, too fast. A city in England?
No, a sea.
A sea?
You know, like the Atlantic Ocean is kind of an ocean, and then there's the Tasman Sea down here in New Zealand. A sea, you know.
Oh, yeah, a sea, uh-huh. Sea.
Never mind. Go ahead.
I saw a map of Ireland the other day, and by God, if you look at it, it looks like a little puppy dog, and there's a big lake. There's a big lake right up in the in the upper part where the head would be, right where the eye should be. I've never heard anybody notice that. I should copyright the idea. Next time you take a look at a map of Ireland, there you go. If people listening to this don't learn anything else, there you are. Check that out. That'll go viral. It'll go viral.
Yeah, just like swine flu.
What's that?
Swine flu.
Oh, swine flu. Swine flu. Yeah.
Apparently it's going viral right now.
Is that? I thought that was old stuff. Really? Swine
flu? No, they got a new swine. Oh, sorry, strain.
Oh, well, I...
Yeah, it's swept through New Zealand this last couple of weeks. Me and basically half the people I know or something like that have been home with the flu or some reason or another. I don't know. It was horrendous, mate. It was like being knocked out for virtually 2 weeks.
Well, that's no fun, but it didn't kill you.
Well, I don't know. Maybe somebody in a more frail condition than a 27-year-old 6'4" man might not have passed the test of survival.
Yeah.
Apparently, a lot of people die from the flu every year, and there's all this other stuff that they're giving you vaccines for. It's like it'll just give your immune system a good shot in the arm. It's like what do you mean? Enhance me with autism?
I don't take any vaccines or any medicine at all. Really, I don't need it. Don't need it.
And I really hate it when they call it an immunization. It's like you don't have an immune system until you've had a succession of needles stuck into your arms. I like to call it a vaccine because it comes from vacca, which means cow.
Yeah.
We're literally the cattle here, you know, derived from the Latin. It is great.
Yeah. And you put that in your body. Yeah, put that in your body.
Come on, cattle. We're going to get you some. Yes, and we're going to give you herd immunity, too.
These people are sick. And they want to make you just as sick as they are, but except their sickness is in their mind, and they want you to die from it. And don't bear a grudge against them either, and don't hate them for it or anything. Just defeat them or whatever, because if you sit around just having a grudge with somebody, it's like drinking poison and expecting them to die from it. It doesn't work. I'll be right back.
Alone against your mad, deadly, worldwide, conspiratorial, gangster, computer god communism with wall-to-wall, deadly gangster protection, lifelong sworn conspirators, murder, incorporated, organized crime, the police and judges, the deadly, secret puppet gangsters using all the gangster deadly Frankenstein control, these hangman rope sneak deadly gangsters, the judges and the police trick, trap, rob, wreck, butcher, and murder the people to keep them terrorized in gangster Frankenstein earphone radio slavery for the communist gangster government and con artist parroting puppet gangster playboy scum on top. There is no escape from this worse gangster police state using all of the deadly gangster Frankenstein controls.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. I want to give a shout-out to all the people listening in New Zealand, Australia, the UK, and America, because that's where most of the English-speaking people live. Although, of course, we do get people tuning in from Trinidad and Tobago and all over the other places as well, which is quite fabulous. It's really, really nice to know that people are basically listening in from all over the world. In fact, we even have a listener in Dublin right now. So welcome, one and all. And Zan overall is my guest, Zan the Wise Old Man, youtube.com/1WOM, W-O-M. Zan, welcome back.
Oh, hello. I just saw, I got some pictures on my save screensaver, and one was a couple of American soldiers with weapons pointing them there somewhere, and the wording was, before you serve your country, learn who your country is serving. Isn't that great? That's a great.
Yeah, I saw that one a couple of yeah. weeks ago. Yeah, it was awesome.
That's right. Well, I thought of a couple of things I could rant about. By the way, on this other picture here, it was a picture of Ford, Henry Ford, and a quote from him, and it says, "It is well that the people of this country do not realize the banking system and the economy, or the banking system, basically, for I believe there would be a revolution before morning if they did." And ain't that the truth? I don't know what you've got over there.
And everybody talks about this. If there's mass awareness, that means there's mass change, right? And I find that kind of awareness is falling by the wayside, even in the truth community. You know, everybody's always trying to look for one problem, one solution, silver bullets, that kind of stuff. I don't think there really is. I think there's only all the different individuals fighting in all these different directions, and they're all attacking the same enemy. So the enemy is, in essence, surrounded by us and fighting a war on, like, what, a billion fronts? How can they win? We have a cumulative effect, even if we focus all on in different areas, and they seem to be completely, irrelevant to each other, and yet they all come together and have an effect, I think.
Well, yeah, little by little, it does, incrementally it does. But like in the 9/11 truth movement, it used to be an inside job. We're blaming it on the American government. Which is a limited hangout. In other words, they knew that their story would not hold up, so they're gonna admit that there were some dirty guys, but they're not admitting the Israel power structure's view of a part in it. I remember, and I am persona non grata in a way. They like me personally, but I went to a meeting of the 9/11 truthers here in L.A. And I said, I want to take a vote. How many of people here, there are about 30, how many people here believe that Israel had a guilty role in 9/11? Every hand went up, including the leaders. And I said, well, why don't you say that? Why don't you say that on the street? Why don't you let the people know? And the leader said, well, we've decided that if we did that, we would lose our credibility. So they're gonna tell half the truth.
See, isn't that funny? Isn't that funny?
Not funny.
The truth movement is afraid that telling the truth will lose their credibility.
I told them, that's not, you're a half-truthers. You're not. You're half-truthers if that. I mean, that's being generous.
But then again, maybe it's actually a tactical move. You know how politicians play it? They'll like, tell you one thing, and then after you've accepted that one thing, then they tell you a little bit more and then a little bit more. Not entirely dissimilar from Freemasonry, really.
Well, it's a strategy. Well, for Christ's sake, how much time do we have? You're going to tell the truth about Israel maybe 10 years from now after they've done a few more.
Yeah. Well, think about this. How long's the New World Order strategy been going on, a couple of hundred years or something? And what are we going to do, try and play the long game better than them?
Yeah, well, that could be the long game, huh? Well, but they're moving in the right direction. That's the only thing. And they're right direction, I should say. I thought of a couple of other things to rant about. The moon. I was a photographer for Rocketdyne, which was a part of the space industry out here. Back during the Cold War, we manufactured rocket engines for the intercontinental ballistic missiles, things like that. It was a job. It was a living. It's a living. And we had little to do with the Apollo missions, and I was so proud. Oh my God! I helped put the man on the moon. And then I started looking into it, and those guys, they didn't get any closer to the moon than low Earth orbit. I'm convinced of that. Yeah.
Yeah, we had Jarrah White on the show. J.A., we can hear that. You got your cup there, mate.
Well, what he had to say.
Well, Jarrah is actually a brand of coffee, incidentally, and Jarrah White is not a flat white, it's not a coffee, it's actually a dude, and he's like the most primo frickin' moon landing hoax explorer type investigator dude I have ever seen. Like, going in to interview him, I was thinking, I'm not 100% sure if the moon landing was a hoax, after spending just 2 hours with him. Yeah. And even some of the info that he come up, so compelling that there's basically very little doubt left.
It's like 9/11, what took down the towers. It's so childish, but people believe it, because to doubt it is like saying your mother wears army shoes, you know.
Do you believe in magic? That we can sail through radiation clouds and blow up buildings that are 10 times frickin' 100 stories off the ground? Do you believe in magic? It can't frickin' happen. They're just lying to you so that they can sacrifice you and make up other Shiite Muslims to frickin' distract you. In fact, how much distraction is there right now? Like, right now? We've got, like, what? US election going on.
Olympics.
Syria, there's the Euro 2012 soccer game. In fact, I just watched one of my listeners sent me this video, Zan, of the Euro 2012 soccer advertisement that they're putting through in China, okay? It's the stadium surrounded by the entirety of Europe in flames and wreckage and smoke and crap, right? And with a big war going on with all this advanced blooming robo technology, whatever, and just taking people out, the soccer players shooting balls of fire at the nets and getting goals and stuff. It's like what the frack does a nuclear bomb going off in Europe have to do with a soccer match?
Well, you know, there's definitely something foreboding about the Olympics. Although nothing may happen, but just the very fact that their logo can be turned around to read Zion, you know that, right?
Oh yeah,
everybody in your show probably knows that Zion. Yeah, that's something, you know. It's certainly hidden and.
Well, what a lot of people are saying, Zan, is that there was supposed to be something happening around the opening ceremony, and now, after the opening ceremony passes without incident, they say, oh, it's now going to happen at the closing ceremony. Like a lot of people are bandying around this date, 17th of August. In fact, there was some description of a Rockefeller document that was produced in the early 90s or something like that, where they were talking about the 2012 Olympics in London, having 13,000 casualties in the past tense, and there's all these other weird obscure connections. So, and a lot of people have been saying, watch out, watch out, watch out. And I think that might in fact be part of the reason why virtually nobody's turned up for the Olympics, why huge amounts of people have actually left London for the duration of the Olympics and gone on holiday and stuff like that. Yeah, a couple of my listeners, he works for a banking executive who's getting their heck out of London for the duration of the Olympics, because, I mean, basically, do you remember what happened in Atlanta, Georgia, when they had the Olympics down there? It was chaos and madness, and there's hold-ups and this, that, and the other. So basically, I think maybe people have learned a lesson about doing big Olympic ceremonies in cities that aren't communist controlled. You're going to have a huge amount of problems.
I know there was a bomb went off in Atlanta. Yeah, sure. I don't know the details. Yeah. Well, you know, there are prophecies, definitely, about those. There are a lot of prophecies about 9/11, and it happened, so we don't know. We don't know. Mm. But we shall see. We shall see. The other thing that I thought of talking about is, we need to talk about the moon anymore. We got a little time. The thing is,
we're coming up to a break.
Okay, well then I'll hold off on crop circles till afterwards. Yeah, coming up.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Yeah. Well, you know how the thing about circles is that they keep coming round. So we'll be round again in a couple of minutes, ladies and gentlemen, talking about crop circles in a roundabout way.
Okay.
See you in a minute.
I'm writing it down.
divided we fall. Unity, please don't desert me. You're the sweetest honey from the honeybee. Unity.
Welcome back,
unity,
ladies and gentlemen.
Desert me.
It is now hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinny Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. Nice, beautiful, pissing down with rain day in Auckland today. Isn't it freaking gorgeous, you know? And apparently the whole country's got it. And we've got some big volcano down in Tongariro National Park going up in smoke as well. And a whole bunch of volcanologists who I thought only existed in Star Trek went on down there and were checking it out and stuff like that. It's like, oh bro, there's ash and stuff like that. And, you know, people have evacuated their homes and whatever. And of course, this is in tandem with this other big giant volcano, White Island, just off the coast of New Zealand that went up not too long ago either. So there's boom, boom, and they say that they're completely unrelated. And they might be, but as soon as another one goes off in a line or in the region or something like that, I'll start being a little bit more suspicious of it, because I'm starting to think about Stan Deo. He had a premonition, prediction, if you will, that Lake Taupo was going to go up. Lake Taupo's huge, man. It's like the equivalent of the Great Lakes or something like that, except it's a volcanic crater. It's freaking huge. So if that goes up, not only will it split the country, the North Island here in two, but also the ash cloud will kind of destroy all life on Earth, sort of thing.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh. It won't be good for the Vinnie Eastwood Show either.
Nah, well, who knows? I might get a lot of extra listeners posthumously.
Yeah. So the Vinnie Eastwood Show is part of the Ring of Fire, eh?
Yeah, man, absolutely. And speaking of the Ring of Fire, if anybody loves really, really hot chili sauce, okay, ridiculously hot chili sauce, you go to firedragonchilies.com or firedragonchilies.co.nz. My man Clint, he's a big listener to the show and subscribes as well, gives us the old $5 a month, good man. And his chili sauce is just spectacular, I must say. Unlike any sauce I've ever had in my life, it actually gives you a euphoria buzz. It's really strange. It's like taking a drug. It's that good.
Wow. Yeah, I don't like hot stuff myself. We have Mexican restaurants here, and they ask me what kind of salsa I want. I want salsa a la cobarde. That means coward's sauce. Sauce for the cowards. I don't like. And I also say, no me gusta el dolor. I don't enjoy pain, but that's just me.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's a whole bunch of other ways to enjoy it and stuff like that, and there's a range of stuff that's like ridiculously hot and stuff that's actually kind of mild and really good. But
by the way, do you know why they have in hot countries they have a hot sauce? Because
it kills off bacteria on the food.
It also disguises the taste of rotten meat.
Yeah. Well, and kills off the bacteria on the rotten meat. It's similar to a reason in Polynesia, where I went to Tahiti for my brother's wedding. They had their practice and habit of putting lime on all of their fish and things like that, and kill the bacteria. In Japan, you know, in sushi, how they have that real hot green wasabi, that kills the bacteria as well. So there's reasons for these additives to our foods. I'm not sure a lot of people understand it quite well enough.
I like something that kills bacteria that tastes good. That's honey. Honey. You know, they used to put honey on wounds, sword wounds or something like that, because it kills bacteria. You know, they've taken honey out of the tombs in Egypt, put some hot water on it. It's good. It's good to go. Isn't that amazing?
Well, we also have in New Zealand Manuka honey. It's a specific type of tea. It's kind of like a tea tree. You know, you can rip off the leaves and make a cup of tea with it, kind of thing. And when all the bees are doing that, my uncle Malcolm, he kind of pioneered the bee trade and figuring out how to actually transport live queens. And he designed these little cages with this type of food for them and get them in there with their little cage with a few other worker bees and stuff like that. You can transport them to America. All over the world, and the Manuka honey is now being going through really high level kind of medical trials at the moment, to be used in hospitals for the treatment of wounds and stuff, just like you said.
Yeah, very well. Still some good stuff around, yeah. Mm-hmm. While we're talking trivia, maybe, Babe was done in New Zealand, wasn't it? That movie about the pig? Babe, B-A-B-E.
I know them. I know the movie, but I didn't know it was shot here.
Oh, well, it was in then it was Australia. But I thought it was New Zealand. Maybe somebody can tell you. By the way, do you take calls from people? Listen.
We do, actually. The caller lines are open, so if anybody wants to ring in and join the conversation, the number is 218-339-8525. That's 218-339-8525. One more time. 218-339-8525. Please call in. Okay, sorry, Zane, you were saying?
Yeah, one of my pet peeves is radio announcers who give the talk 1-813-333 up, you know, like you're supposed to pick that up. But anyway, I several things I'd like to chat about. One is Fukushima. I just saw a picture of it on my screen here. Fukushima, this is bad news as far as I can tell. And again, the Israel is involved in that too. You know that the security company that they stupidly hired was Israeli. I think they.
Wait a second. Have you noticed whenever huge disasters or major kind of terrorist attacks happen, it's usually Israeli companies that are running the security?
Well, that happened in 9/11. They were at the airports that. Where the planes supposedly took off. Of course, I don't believe that those planes hit anything, but that was the story, you know. And this. Oh well. Anyway, yeah.
Well, I don't know. Mossad as an agency, I think, is probably the most ruthless and the most pervasive out of all the intelligence agencies. I mean, relative to its size and scale, a friend of mine is a bit of an informant on the hacking world and that side of things, and he told me that they have like 50 cyber warfare teams that are working at all times, trawling the internet for anybody that's saying anything about Israel, hacking stuff, listening into conversation. You know, all this is just huge amount of freaking paranoia and security apparatus.
Well, according to their deepest beliefs, we're just animals. There's nothing wrong with doing something to an animal, at least in their viewpoint.
Well, that's how so many populations have been brainwashed throughout history, and it's like it's not actually the beliefs of the people; it's what has been conditioned into them and what has been kind of mandated. You know, like euthanasia or whatever. It's just government sanctioned killing. Everybody just goes, it's okay, or whatever, and all of a sudden people start dying because they're saying it's okay. These people are at the end of their life or whatever. Slippery slope, maybe, or Messiah, but you think back to Nazi Germany or Stalin's Russia and all of these just extermination pick out programs, whoever was like subversive or whoever was maybe handicapped or a gypsy or anything really, just being sanctioned out by the government. And yet when you go and talk to the people who are old today, who were young back then, and they don't want to talk about it, and when you do, they virtually knew nothing. You know, they're just like, one day they were there and one day they kind of just were gone and we didn't really know what happened to them. That kind of thing. You have a whole population that is just completely ignorant of just how horrific their government can be. And I think this is something the people of the United States should be able to relate to now. That your government really does not represent the people. And ergo, you can't classify people via their country of origin to a large degree anymore, don't you think?
Well, no. I sound like I'm a Jew fanatic, but some famous Jew said there are no French Jews, there are no German Jews, there are no English Jews. There are only Jews who happen to live in those countries. I think some of them think they're patriots, but if it came down to facts, I'm going to make a placard and parade in front of a synagogue with this. Let me see how to go. Your first top line, your country - Israel. Next line, attacked. Third line, your country, USA. Next line, choose a country. I mean, I would like to see how Jews react to it. I think some of them might actually, it might bother me. It might bother them. You know, what do you think about that?
I don't know. You know, it's just like, how do you kind of explain to somebody that there's a ruling elite that happen to operate beyond national borders and have used other countries and other peoples and other religions and other companies to get what they want for a long time? It's difficult to just kind of put that on a placard to a degree.
Well, I'm learning to get a message on a little placard without too many words. Oh, by the way, at the bottom I say, well, somewhere I say, attack your country on June 8th, 1967, and 9/11, 2001. Just so they understand what I'm talking about. But there you go. But now back to Fukushima. You realize that happened on the day the so-called earthquake that did it. That happened a year to the day after Japan spoke out officially with their government in favor of a Palestinian independent state. And you just don't do that and not suffer for it. And they've suffered for it big time. I think that's something to think about.
It really does happen. Like, what's CPAC or the ADL? They ring bells as these kind of organizations that kind of give you a call if you do a talk that is a little bit too open about it.
CPAC or ADL? What are you talking about? You're talking about a Jewish Defense Anti-Defamation League or what?
Yeah.
It's funny. I haven't suffered in any way for it yet. The ADL has a newsletter, and at one point they felt they had to address the fact that so many people were saying Israel did 9/11, and so they put out a newsletter, and they mentioned this. I'm involved with and I should give it a plug, with a website called Rediscover, www.rediscover911.com. Just the way it sounds, rediscover911.com. Nothing, just 9/11, just the three numbers. And they mentioned that as because we're our thing is putting out the information that Israel, the evidence that Israel was involved in 9/11, did it, really. And they mentioned that. They mentioned my name, and they mentioned Ed Kendrick, who runs the thing. And they called me a Holocaust denier, which I am. In my sense, it were. So I was saying that. So I'm in their books, that's for sure. But I haven't done anything yet.
No. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I just wonder, man. What kind of tact to take? Because you can't go out there. Like this is how the Holocaust works. There are a bunch of people all around the world who absolutely believe and haven't actually seen a whole lot of evidence, but they've seen pictures and reels and things of real concentration camps that really killed people, and this number 6 million comes up. And I don't know about you, Zan, or anybody else, but I've never actually seen like the record boards or the camp lists or things or exactly how they calculated that number or whatever. But here's the point: 7 million Ukrainians died because the Russian government at the time wanted all their land and confiscated all their food, and they starved to death in the streets and had to resort to cannibalism. Millions and millions of people died under Pol Pot in Cambodia, and something like 50 million Chinese or something got exterminated under Chairman Mao's leadership in China. Yeah. And we can talk about those things, okay, We can talk about those things openly as brutal trails of human rights. We can even revisit them and have a look at how they were done and what have you, and question a lot of the techniques used. We're not allowed to do that around the Holocaust. We're also not allowed to use it in reference for anything. And also, the people of China who perhaps were exterminated at that time are not automatically excused from all of China's human rights abuses, are they? And yet somehow Israel being in the UN indicted something like, what, 118 violations or something of international law, human conduct, you know, they've been voted like 108-1 or 108-2, of course, because the United States always supports Israel in the United Nations and all of this kind of stuff. We're talking about something that is the worst human rights violating country virtually in the modern world, and you can't talk bad about them because they died all those years ago.
There's a Voltaire said something. He said, to learn who controls you, it is only necessary to discover who you cannot criticize.
That's it. And I think nobody is above reproach. Nobody is above criticism. I don't care if you are God himself or Jesus or anything at all. I don't think anything should be subject from criticism, further analysis or anything like that. Don't look into that further. That sounds like a scumbag trying to hide something from me to me. You know? Don't talk about it. Don't look into it further. Who the heck do you think you are? We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com.
On December 16th, 1961, the world turned upside down, then inside out, and I was born screaming in America. It was the tail end of the American dream. Just before we lost our innocence irrevocably, when the TV eye brought the horror of our lives into our homes for all to see. I was told when I grew up I could be anything I wanted. A fireman, a policeman, a doctor, even president it seemed. And for the first time in the history of mankind, something new called an astronaut. But like many kids growing up on a steady diet of Westerns, I always wanted to be the cowboy hero. That lone voice in the wilderness, fighting corruption and evil wherever I found it, and standing for freedom, truth, and justice. And in my heart of hearts, I still track the remnants of that dream wherever I go in my never-ending ride into the setting sun.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. You're hearing from the immortal Bill Hicks there. And we want to go to now our first caller of the evening, Dodge from Tampa. Dodge, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you very much. I'm not sure who your guest is. It sounds like the wise old man. Do I have that right?
You have it 100% right.
Yeah, and I noticed you were promoting that Burmese film, The Shade or something. That Burmese guy, you know, he wanted to throw electric toasters in water with people who deny the Holocaust and what have you. So I don't trust that guy, especially since he took up with the
ship from. It was a ship from the Intel hub. He asked me to upload it, so I was just like, yeah, sweet ass, bro.
Yes, but the wise old man has to write. It's the half-truth movement. I'll be using that one if he doesn't mind.
I don't mind at all.
I appreciate what you do. I've seen your videos. You're awesome.
Well, maybe. What if you called it the 9/11 half movement?
9/11 half-truth movement.
Yeah. Or you combine half with the word truth, and it's the 9/11 hoof movement.
Hell. I really, in my heart of hearts, it's the 9/11 half-ass truth movement.
Well, these Jewish supremacists have been thrown out of many countries, and it's time to do it here and down there in New Zealand, for that matter. It's time for them to go back to their ghetto and not be allowed to be in any sort of controlling position, because they game every system. They can't see a system and let it be. They have to game everything.
Well, that's because they're headed for world domination and complete. That's what they want. They've said it for hundreds and thousands of years. It's no secret. except that people don't want to believe it. That's the problem.
Well, no, I think the real problem is that people get offended when you even talk about it. Like this is what I think about everything, okay? Like, for example, sexuality or what topics you're talking about. Okay, has that person in some way harmed me? No. Have they caused loss? Have they damaged my property, stolen some of their stuff? No. Okay, then, answer is none of my fracking business. Okay? That's whatever's going on. So to tell people that you can't talk about something like that when they haven't harmed you or caused loss, what are you talking about, mate? You're trying to impinge on other people's freedoms, aren't you? And that in itself inherently, I think, is the crux of the issue, is that you're not even free to talk about this stuff in conspiracy circles.
Well, it's true. I told you earlier that about these 9/11 truthers who thought it would ruin their credibility if they told the truth.
that's enough said right there. But how about these? Now they're going to use this new shooting to enact more gun control laws, and so they want to come take my gun from me. Are they going to use a gun to take my gun from me?
Yeah. Well, who said the? Stalin said power comes out of the mouth of a gun. Sure, so they don't want us to have guns, yeah.
And all their good ideas are enacted at the point of a gun. If they're such good ideas, why do you need that gun so much?
Well, I don't know. I think society needs some force, and I think that the police...
I disagree with that. I don't think society absolutely needs the initiation of force. It needs reactionary force, I think. If somebody does actually come and do something bad or is just about to, then of course, you know, pull out your revolver and pop two in the chest and one in his head. But if you haven't actually been threatened or are not under threat and you're actually the one initiating the force, that's what's wrong. And that's what's happening with the United States invading Iraq, isn't it? Did Iraq actually initiate any force against the United States at any point? No.
Well, it's so ridiculous because we killed Germans, hung Germans for aggression against another country, which actually wasn't the truth. France and England declared war on Germany. It wasn't the other way around. and here we are. Marching around the world, committing aggression after one Muslim country after another, because our boss told us to, namely the international Jewish power structure. You know, that's what's happening.
And then, of course, somebody gets real angry with the Al Qaeda terrorists, and then blow up, and then go and shoot a Sikh temple, which is from India.
Yeah. I don't know about that.
The ignorance and the stupidity out there that people react and believe so strongly in things that they know nothing about, where if you could ask just two questions to anybody about virtually anything that they claim to support or have anything, you'd usually boil it down and figure out that they know nothing about what they're talking about. They don't know the history. They don't know the consequences. They can't see the forest for the trees. The question is, how do you reach out to the sheeple, right? It's those kind of people within the truth movement who still have the sheeple mentality of blindly following stuff and not knowing exactly what they're doing and not knowing exactly what they're talking about and not having lines in the sand and principles, okay? I think that's what part of the wake-up is about awakening the principles within you and understanding what you were no longer prepared to put up with, what you were no longer prepared to lose. And that's why so many truthers wind up losing a whole lot of their friendships, because they recognize that their friends are prepared to lose everything, and you can't be around him much longer.
Yeah. What's the caller's name? I forgot.
Dodge.
Are you still there, Doug?
Dodge? Yes, I'm here.
Oh, good. Well, chime in now when you want to.
Well, I thought we should be talking about how Britney Spears is going to do on The X Factor. Isn't that the most important thing?
Yeah. and how her figure is these days, you know.
Yeah. Have you noticed how routinely the most important things are very rarely the most popular things?
The least important, you say, yes, oh, of course.
The least important things are usually the most popular, and the most important things are usually the least popular.
But rewinding a bit back to 9/11 truthers, I didn't realize this, but obviously they had everything set up on the day of 9/11. All they're going to blame it on Osama bin Laden. They're going to do this, and they had the truth movement already planned too. And so many of the gatekeepers are Jewish. You know, it's no accident. They're all set. It's all set up. Did you see that there was an actor, not a very good actor, on 9/11, and he was an hour after the thing had happened. He was explaining how it happened. Well, the planes and this, he was just like reading from a script and not doing a very good job of it. You ever see that guy? Oh my God,
the Harley Davidson T-shirt guy.
What? Oh, was that? I forget what he had on. Yeah, he was probably from Canada, I think. You've heard him. Phony as hell, right, Dodge? Phony as hell. But it works because when you've got the media, you've got what you need, you know? Yeah.
You know, I wonder like this. There's a lot of different theories about 9/11, whether it's nukes, whether or not it's directed energy weapons, whether it's thermite or dynamite or whatever. And I was thinking about this. What if they actually really did them all at the same time and then create a movement to bicker amongst themselves over who did what, when, where, and why, as opposed to just going, hell, 9/11 was an inside job, and the government and the bankers in some way were involved, so we've got to take them out of power so they can't finance this kind of operation again.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Confusion. They hear a limerick about... a gay and a lesbian and a gay, or a dyke and a gay, spent the night together. They argued all night over who's to do what to whom with which. Is that in keeping with what you just said?
I'm also unsure as if it's in keeping with FCC regulations. I want to just apologize to the affiliates and what have you. It's a family show. And when he said dyke, he was talking about those things that they have in Finland to keep out water and things of that nature. And when he said gay, he meant an incredibly happy person who was on top of that dyke wondering what to do with what.
Yes. Yeah, well, I'm sorry. I've disgraced myself.
Well, really. look at it this way. You're showing your age. And you know what the FCC regulations do? They show how you can't speak your mind anymore. That's what all this crap is about. What was it talking about? Being PC, politically correct, somebody's not short, they're vertically challenged, somebody, you know? That kind of stuff is the reason why nobody really is interested in talking about stuff anymore, because as soon as something interesting and controversial comes up, they're programmed to turn it off and say, oh, it's banned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did we get into crop circles yet? Well, Fukushima this is serious business, and I don't think we're getting the truth about it. You should.
We had on Mike Billington from La Roche-Pack yesterday, and he said that they're blowing out of proportion all of this radiation stuff, and that there's virtually no risk and what have you.
I've heard that too, yeah.
But, and Benjamin Fulford said something similar. He said in downtown Tokyo they had him and a couple of other people with Geiger counters and whatever, and no radiation, nothing.
No problem. Well, it'd be fine, but if it was an attempt at that, then that should be known too, you know.
This is the problem. We've got disinformation all over the place. So even if you are a good discerning person, even then, it's still very crucially difficult to know what's really going on, isn't it?
Well, I've seen pictures of that tsunami wave rolling in, and the cars were parked neatly in their places in the parking lots. There was no earthquake in that anywhere in that area. Thing. So what happened? What happened? You know. Again, only a few individuals came out with a contrary view, and you can't trust the media. That's for sure. Yeah.
Well, you never have been able to. I mean, not since I've been alive have you been able to trust the media. So that's like, what, 27 years of belligerent bullcrap that's been fed to everybody? It's probably been going on long before then. In fact, Haven't people figured out by now that the only way that a ruling elite can actually operate is if they have control over the information? It's the only way.
Yes. Absolutely. Of course, this is an American, but there was a famous skeptic back in the 20s and the 30s who said that the whole purpose of politics is to keep the populace in a constant state of fear and asking to be delivered from the danger, you know? That's it, the whole thing.
Well, what's it like for you, Dodge, down in Tampa? Is there like a climate of fear? Are they like billboards over the thing, but, you know, what if you see something, say something? What's going on? Does it feel like you're in a big fear nest egg or something? Dodge, are you there?
He grew bored. Dodge. He's dodging the question.
Okay.
Or maybe he grew bored. He grew bored, perhaps.
No, well, we sometimes have problems with the phones as well. If you're on for like 15 minutes or something, it kind of cuts out. So if you want to just hang up quickly, Dodge, and ring back in, I'll be able to quickly unmute you before we go to the break in a minute. The number is 218-339-8525. Those of you out there, I mean, have you noticed when you're giving out the number on talk radio, like I've been driving in my car and stuff like that, and people are going like, what the heck was he saying? You know? Get out a pen and paper. You know what I do when you're trying to take notes and you're at the computer or something, and you've got those little text file programs where it's like WordPad or something like that? Just crank open one of those and just write it down. 218-339-8525. And in the sales world, when you're doing phone numbers and stuff like that, you turn them into bigger numbers, like 218-339-8525.
Yeah. I like numbers that are like dates, you know, 1928 or something.
I like big numbers. Have you noticed? Like quadrillion. Quadrillion's kind of my favorite number, kind of because it's the only kind of unit of measurement that we currently have that allows us to gauge the amount of money that the current world is indebted to.
I heard that there are 100 billion, not solar systems. What's the next step up from solar systems?
Galaxies?
Billions of galaxies? Can you imagine that? It's amazing. Amazing.
And that's just the ones we can see with our current technology. I mean, I'm thinking like the universe is just so massive that it'll virtually stretch on forever. Like, it's kind of like, you know, how people thought the world was flat and one day you'd reach the edge and fall off.
Yeah.
It's like our current view of the universe and how big it is, you know. Just like, we can reach the end of the universe and pop off it someday. Dodge, just before we go to break, do you feel like you're in a climate of fear in Tampa by chance?
No. We're all about professional sports here. That's all we care about in Tampa. And that and the Republican National Convention will be here soon, so we can watch that lockdown with the police state. But all I do is I don't send them money. I don't pay mortgages. I'm not paying taxes. I'm growing my own food. I'm actually working on a thing I saw in Australia. They taught me how to use fish urine. You grow fish in the bottom tank and grow your plants in the top tank, aquaponics.
I'm sorry, Dodge. We'll talk about fish urine after the break. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the show that's all about organized crime. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com, broadcasting live from the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand.
That's very good. That's such a good New York accent. That's like it.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. A little black in there. Got a little black in there at the end there. Yeah. So, can I just launch into something? Do we have any old business, as they would say? Do we have any old business? No.
Well, the final question that I normally ask all my guests is about self-censorship, ironically enough. You know how there's certain things, even I have certain things that I kind of don't talk about that openly, you know, that sort of thing, because I think people might think I don't think they're ready for it, or they might think I'm a bit nuts or whatever, that kind of thing. For some reason or another, we think that people might not comprehend it, or we might be judged. And so I'm going to offer you the platform here with an audience that will comprehend you and the host that won't judge you.
So are you saying that you sometimes self-censorship, but you can't tell us what you self-censor yourself about, can you?
Exactly. I can neither confirm nor deny what I censor or do not censor.
That's funny, yeah.
What's it? Yeah, it's a political. It doesn't matter where you're in it, whether you're in office politics or radio politics. There's politics everywhere.
There's policy, strategy. Sometimes you might have to use strategy, but I don't. Maybe at 87, I don't have that much to lose. You know, we were talking during the break about music and the fact that America has a black their music, the white music. You know, we used to have two musics. We had black and white. We had country and we had Latino. Now we have Latino and country, but there's no what they call the classic American song. It's gone. It's not popular. And I don't think it happens by accident. We have everybody sings black and everything. So, and I was thinking, I don't think those things happen by accident. I think the people that are wanting to destroy this country and all other countries, what they do is destroy the self-image of the country, and the one way they do it, and people are so stupid they don't see it. Over here, people with money walk around with blue jeans with holes in the knees of their pants, and they walk around with what they call the rugged look. They have clippers made to clip their beards so they look like they're coming off a 4-day drunk, like they haven't shaved for 4 days. And you've seen that look. I mean, it's on the magazines and everything. And yet, it's not. What is it? It's not a real beard. It's not clean shaven. You look like a bum. You look like a bum. Why? I think it's a plot. I think it's a plot. What do you think?
Can you redefine exactly what the plot is, to make everybody just rank self imageless automaton easy to manipulate fools?
Well, the plot would be to make you look like a bum and make the bums the standard.
Well, I think they have a much easier and simpler plot than that. It's called impoverishing everybody and land grabbing.
well, then they'll be, you know what?
Maybe they're trying to actually create a fashion statement about being looking like a bum, right? So that later on, when people have to look like that, everybody feels fashionable.
Yeah. So they're being nice. In other words, you get my point. I think everything has a meaning. Everything has a meaning. And my grandfather, who he dressed in a suit every day, and he shaved every day with a straight razor, for God's sake, he would be aghast to look at the people in the streets today. Even the fact of wearing blue jeans. I wear blue jeans sometimes, but even that, those were workmen's clothes. Nobody would have thought of wearing them, at a certain time in history. Maybe I'm showing my age.
And now you got girls. And now you've got these young girls on the thing. They've got these huge cadres of litter and glue fanatic 16-year-olds who are like decorating all their blue jeans and stuff like that. Yeah, I'm wearing work clothes, but I've never done a day's work in my life because Daddy bought these blue jeans for me.
I don't think we have that style up here. I've never noticed that one.
Yeah. Oh, well, of course you never noticed, mate, because it's a pop culture tween thing. Apparently, it's all the rage.
Well, it's just, yeah. Well, that, in a way, that's reactionary. They're trying to look good. That will never do. That will never.
Oh, there was some chick. I don't know. It was like 14, 15 years old who did some kind of music video or whatever. It was a big hit, and in that video, they were doing that to the jeans. So suddenly, every girl in bloody Los Angeles is doing it.
Oh well, that's what they do. They follow the herd.
Monkey see, monkey do.
Yeah, speaking of herds. Well, I think, what are you going to do next to look like a bum? Maybe a rope for a belt. And
have you heard of the 18 80s TV show?
The what show?
The A-Team.
A-Team,
With Mr. T and everything. Yeah, I think that show, and Mr. T specifically, kind of embodies the economic policy of the United States. Did this. He got $10,000 worth of gold chains hanging around his neck and a rope holding up his pants.
Oh, I didn't notice. I never noticed the rope. I never noticed the rope. We have a problem over here with youth gangs, particularly about black, Latino here in town, too, but they stick in their own neighborhoods, but they're young black flash. You know what a flash mob is? That they get together on their whatever it is, you know, the social networks, and they say corner such and such and such and such, and a bunch of young blacks come and they beat up white people, and the newspapers and newspapers don't they call them youths or something? They don't have the guts to tell the truth about what's happening.
And this is what's happening, right? Race war and fear of crazed individuals. That's what I see in the news like all the time. Don't you think? Because you can't get one black kid killed without whole huge reaction from the black community. Yes. And I feel it's like we're on tender hooks whenever you talk about anybody who's ever been discriminated against ever, right? You can't talk about black people. You can't talk about Jewish people. You can't talk about Mexican people. You can't talk about other Muslims or religions and all this kind of stuff. You can't talk about it. And because you can't talk about it, you remain in absolute freaking ignorance and unfamiliarity and fear of it.
And then the worst part is people who don't know what's happening. You know, you depend on the so-called free press. I laugh my ass off when you're free. Well, we have free press. We have freedom of the press here, and yeah, you have freedom of the press to tell us, to tell you exactly what the government wants you to know. That's the freedom of the press.
Well, I just don't understand the ignorance and the hate of some people who are also very reactionary. Like there are some people, it doesn't matter what group you're from, that has been discriminated against, whether it be a sexual sectarian, like a gay guy who, for example, who at the first mention of homosexuality in any reference instantly gets very angry, or a Jewish girl, for example, would hear any kind of racial slur and have at you, or a feminist, for instance, would jump down your throat if you made any kind of derogatory joke. And even if these things are all in good fun, and even if they're not serious, and even if they're actually out of the methodology of pure scientific debate about race or religion or history or something of that nature, those reactionary principles still get activated regardless. And it prevents you from having a conversation. Like, I've stood behind Maori activists, Muslim activists, and people who are Palestinian and people who, whatever. All forms of discriminated against screwed up people, and somebody comes along and calls me a racist or something, or a shill or something else of that nature.
doesn't hold any water because they're not really fighting against anything real at the end of the day. They're just hating on stuff because they feel that because they got discriminated against or maybe part of their family got discriminated against back in the day, that they suddenly see it everywhere. It's like they haven't gotten over it, so they're going to keep going through that same process until it's resolved. And I don't think that's any good way to live, you know? Get over it and start talking to people as people. Thanks, Sam, for coming on the show today. And youtube.com/1WOM, standing for One Wise Old Man. Thank you very much for coming on the show.
My pleasure. Why not? Cheers.
Right. Cheers. Thanks, man. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening in. And if you support the broadcast and real actual truth getting out there in some way, shape or form, it may not be the best or whatever, but that's all we got sometimes. Please donate and go to thevinnyeastwoodshow.com and you can subscribe for $5 a month. There's a bank account number there if you don't want credit card fees and all of that kind of jazz. There's innumerable ways to support the shows. And if you can't support me or don't want to, then please support somebody else who does resonate with you. And we'll see you again sometime, ladies and gentlemen.